Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Happy Wednesday.
You know what? I was going to argue it, but Dan's playing some ska music right now.
It's going well.
So there's never a bad time.
We're halfway through the week. The snow turned into rain. We're good. We're fine.
Snow turned into rain, so I guess that is part of good because of the fact that, like, it's not snow, but...
Exactly. It's exactly right.
But nobody likes this, and it gives fall critics their ammunition.
Yeah, they do.
If it's going to be that, either make it go away or actually snow.
Fair point. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Wednesday. Bills back to practice today. We'll get our first injury reports. We'll see what is up with the likes of Josh Palmer and others. Dalton Kincaid week to week. We kind of know he's probably not playing this week. Landon Jackson goes to IR. Did make some moves on the practice squad. We saw that yesterday. Mecole Hardman officially signed to the practice squad. So, get it going. It's for an NFC game, it is somewhat a must-win for the Bills.
It is a little bit of a must-win for the Bills this week. And the reason for that is circumstance. Common opponents. If the Bills are going to find their way fighting to get back into the division race here, you need this game because it is a common opponent.
We'll see. Tampa also wounded to hell. I think everyone kind of knows that, but just some of the players they have on IR, Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving, Hassan Reddick, Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan. It's a lot of guys for them. The Bills also, of course, are injured. This has been a pretty big discussion throughout the league of a lot of teams just kind of limping through the season, just trying to get through game to game. San Francisco has been one of those teams as well. But this is probably going to be, and we took calls yesterday, Derek, about this, of this is probably going to be two pissed off teams trying to right the ship, and we'll see which one gets the goods from this. It is in Buffalo. That is a huge bonus here. Josh Allen versus Baker Mayfield, but both quarterbacks are going to have a limited offense, potentially. Again, we'll see about Josh Palmer, but Dalton Kincaid likely out. We'll see if the Bills get back Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
He's been on the practice squad. He's been recovering from his injury. There's kind of been always that rumbling of like, all right, he's going to play some games for the Bills. That's going to happen. We'll see if it does this week. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio probably in the next 10 minutes or so. We'll get him in early as the Bills get back to practice today. We've also got a Sabres game tonight, Sabres after dark. They're playing Utah.
Oh, boy, are they banged up in a way that is unconventional. But, yeah, Utah tonight with a depleted roster. Since they became Utah, by the way, you haven't beat them yet. So,
right.
Go get that done.
That'd be nice. Go get that done.
Go get that done.
We'll talk to the Sabres a little bit later on today. Of course, they're out west, so it's going to be a little bit later tonight. 8 p.m. pregame, 9 p.m. puck drop. They'll play Utah tonight, Colorado tomorrow, and then I believe Detroit on Saturday. So it's a pretty quick run here for the Sabres, who are just wounded in ways that are nearly unimaginable. But for the Bills with Tampa Bay, they're both 6-3. They're both somewhat reeling. Many facts due to injuries, but also, I mean, for the Bills, we've talked about it kind of to death, just the laying of an egg against the Dolphins, where Tampa, you gave New England one of their best wins. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. New England now, I mean, it's a weak schedule, sure, but they got to win at Buffalo, and they got to win at Tampa. Those are good wins. And with where the Bucs were not that long ago, Baker Mayfield was playing at such a high level. I mean, my favorite game I've watched this year was a few weeks ago. It was Tampa at Seattle. Just an offensive explosion. They have Emeka Ibuka.
Yes, you were yelling at the television, actually.
Because why would you go away from that?
When Red Zone would change it.
Yeah, don't go away from it.
You know what's kind of funny, though, with New
England? It was such a good game.
New England, oddly enough, they are a division leader, and they are now on the inside track as one of the three teams that could get the one seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet they would scream the perfect wild card threat. 3-2 at home, 5-0 on the road, including wins at Buffalo and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Could they accidentally sabotage themselves by being a home team in the playoffs?
Yeah, we're in reality. We play better on the road. It's funny, Tampa, so they're 6-3. They've had highlight kind of moments. They've also, this was earlier in the year more for them, but they would kind of scrape by and get wins. You know, Atlanta in week one, 23-20 win. Week two, at Houston, 20-19 win. New York Jets, 29-27 win.
Which included
win.
A blocked field goal and Aaron Glenn having a hell of a celebration. Yeah.
They have been scraping by, and it kind of points to the stats as well for them. Points
even
four,
their losses
oh, yeah,
were in one-score games. The Lions game is the one that is the anomaly, 24-9. And the Saints is the other end of the anomaly. They win by 20 against New Orleans.
Right. Both of those are kind of more like, all right, look who you played. But so to that point, though, it kind of points to what their stats are. Points for, they're 11th in the league at 24.4. Points against, they're 14th in the league, 22.9. They're seemingly a pretty solid team that has been really ravaged by injuries.
They've shown, though, that they can also win in a lot of scenarios here.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive shootout, like Seattle, absolutely, let's get after it. Defensive conundrum, week two against the Texans. They can win in various ways. Special teams gaff, you got to get back down the field and win the game. Jets. They've won in different ways this year to a point where it is Bills better be on their A game because Tampa finds ways to close games typically. Even the New England game, like they lose by five, but New England had a two-score lead late in that contest. So New England had more control of that game than the scoreboard would lead you to believe.
Yeah, Tampa was chasing.
Tampa was chasing. They were trying to fight their way back the entire time. Not the entire time, actually. Tampa had a first drive touchdown and had control early on, but then New England takes control of that game. They're chasing the rest of it. They do eventually lose by that one possession. But for me, I do think it is Tampa. If there's an opportunity to close a game, they have shown that they can close a game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield, veteran presence there. They're one of the more well-run organizations in the sport, especially in the NFC South, which kind of seems to be poorly run, except for Tampa. I will tell you, the one big stat I'm looking at for this week, and it's because we've talked about it with the Bills and their offense and knowing the likelihood that Kincaid is out, and we'll see if Josh Palmer is coming back. And as we've talked about with the offense, it goes this year as James Cook goes. Derek, they've only given up over 100 yards rushing three times this year.
Oh, so we're in for one of these games.
Seattle, they gave up 121. Detroit, they gave up 164. And last week, they gave up 166. But against Bijan Robinson, 69. They gave up 99 against the Jets, 88 against Philadelphia, 67 against San Francisco, 48 against the Saints. It could be one of those games where they're talented enough, and game script will tell you, you should key in on James Cook, you should stop him and worry about everything else afterwards, that they have the potential to do that. This is going to be two teams that are mad and trying to right the ship, get it going again. And I'm not saying it's pointing to Tampa is going to have a good shot at this or that I'm favoring them. I'm not saying that. But they may have the ability to do it because the Bills have become, in many aspects, so one-dimensional at times. They cannot really play from behind. They're not really built for that.
Right.
And the injuries make that even more so. And Tampa, with Emeka Ibuka, can strike fast. They don't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Kind of seems to not matter. They have Tez Johnson scoring two touchdowns against New England. Emeka Buka continues to be one of the best rookie receivers we've seen in the last few years, and that's still even with the likes of Malik Nabers and stuff like that over the last few years. They are a very good team, and the Bills, weirdly, are in a bad spot with where they're at. It's not just the loss to Miami. It is much more looking at this whole thing, kind of ignore, you know, the bye week just being the bye week. If they lose to Tampa, they've lost four of their last six. That's where we're sitting at now with this Bills team. If you take out the bye week and you just put it all together, if they lose, it's four of their last six. And they are not on a good run at all.
That's the disturbing trend, and we were talking about this on my drive-in. Yeah, it turns into all of a sudden you are losing four of your last six. It is – you are kind of trending toward a downward spiral overall, and it doesn't look pretty anymore. How they came out of the bye week was good. Put a beat down on Carolina. They win against Kansas City in a game that, while back and forth the entire time, the Bills did have control of that game. It was theirs unless they dictated it would not be. And then Miami happens. And all of a sudden, it can flip once again if you lose this game. Because you are losers of four of your last six games. And you had the bye week already. So we might be in for a season where this spiral could continue in that sort of way. It can turn very quickly on you all of a sudden. And typically, games against NFC opponents, when you're sitting at 6-3, aren't what I'd call must win. This one is. Because of several factors. One, you don't want to be the team that's lost four of your last six. Two, it's a common opponent if you want to fight your way back into any conversations about having the division. Three, I don't want to be staring at 6-5, or 6-4, excuse me, with the chance to keep falling further than that. You've got to get this under control because there's a lot to it in how you are perceived at that point. By the way, Houston's up next. Another team that limits run games.
Yeah, you go on a road trip here at Houston, at Pittsburgh.
But by the way, Houston is also a short week.
Yeah, it's Thursday Night Football.
That's Thursday Night Football. And nobody has a tendency to play well on Thursday Night Football.
No, those have really become a game of just win it. Just get out of there healthy and win.
Don't
take too many, you know, grandiose things from it. Just get a win on Thursday night and move on.
Yeah, everyone seems to play gross on Thursday night is typically how it looks. We get every now and then the fun, entertaining game, but typically it looks like a Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm. We'll get more on the Bills as we go now to our West Her Hotline. Bills back to practice today. Sal Capaccio joins the show here. Sal, good morning. How are we doing, man?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
Hey, Sal.
Good morning. So we maybe have one of the few really crucial out-of-conference games here with Tampa Bay coming up now. They just lost to New England. Now it's a common opponent. And what me and Derek were just talking here to kind of bring in the show is if you take out the bye week, if the Bills were to fall to Tampa this Sunday, they've now all of a sudden lost four of their last six. It's the sky is not falling for this Bills team, Sal. They are riddled with injuries. But, man, when you look at it, you know, kind of from the outside looking in, it's not the prettiest situation right now.
No, for sure. I mean, like, they've been down this road before in years past, but it just feels like, you know, there's a more sense of urgency to get things fixed this time around. Because I think in years past, you'd be like, okay, well, things aren't going well, but you still have Josh Allen and you know, you can, you know, score points and get your way out of it. And I think that's what people are questioning right now, right? Because the offense, the passing offense specifically, just have not looked like it should look. And I think that's where there's more of a concern. But overall, I mean, I was just reading an article. It's so funny about this because the Bills are playing the Bucks this week, right? And the Bucks, I agree with you. Like, this is an NFC game, and what Derek just said is right. Normally, NFC game, you know, you're taking mid-November, you're like, okay, well, if you drop that one, it's not, you know, the end of the world. But you feel like you have to keep pace here with the Patriots. The Patriots just beat this team last week. You feel like you do. You know, the same thing is true the other way. And I would have felt better, obviously, if the Patriots had lost for right. obvious reasons. But if the Bucs had won that game and then they come to Buffalo, like, you know, coming off a big win, they probably are a little bit maybe letting their guard down, so to speak, right? But they need this win. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bucs need this win. And that's also something that raises your antenna. So I'm reading an article yesterday from one of the Buccaneers reporters and writers, and they're basically talking about how, hey, even if you go back when the Bucs won the Super Bowl with Tom Brady in 2020, they were 6-3 after 9 games. Same record they have now. They were actually like 6-5, I believe, after 11 games, I want to look back at. So it's just on your perspective. That doesn't mean that it's got to hold true the same way with the Bills. When I go back to what I just said, the Bills have been down this road before. If you go back to 2022 or 2023, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 2023, the Bills finished 11-6 overall.
Yeah, but they were 6-6,
after
right?
Week 10, they were 5-5 and in 10th place in the conference. This is 2 years ago.
Yeah. So it is almost one of those things, Guy. I've heard people bring up, too, that this is maybe like a new spot for McDermott. It maybe isn't. I think they've been down these roads before and maybe in worse situations. Where the frustration or maybe the concern does come from, and Sal, you brought it up there, is can the offense score its way out of it? Can Allen just start ripping the ball and just put the team on his shoulders and go? I think that's where the fear is in reality, it maybe is actually James Cook that has to sort of get them out of this, with Josh Allen, of course, also playing into that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Bills have a philosophy here, how they want to play. They want to play, and how they want to play is to have a dominant, you know, up front offensive line and run the ball and control the game and win like that. And we all say, well, wait a minute, that's kind of insane because you have Josh Allen. And I don't disagree with that, but they're also very good at the way that they want to play, and it's proved to be very fruitful for them. But what's happening is they've given themselves less margin for error when things start to go the other way, like it did in Miami last week. They don't have that ability right now and haven't shown that ability. I guess they did against Baltimore in that one game, but they haven't really shown that ability. Atlanta's the same thing, to really climb their way out of it and chase the game. Sean McDermott said that after the game, chasing the game. And I agree with that. The Bills, once they're starting to chase the game, that's when you feel like, you know, and it's come to fruition, they haven't been able to do that. But you have Josh Allen. You should be able to chase a game once in a while to be able to come back. And yes, they did it week one. Maybe, you know, you look back at week one, guys, maybe that was I'm not saying it was a bad thing. It's a good thing they came back, but maybe it gave them a false sense of how they can play in those situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And think that, well, it's okay if that happens. We're okay. We have Josh Allen. We have this passing game, but that hasn't happened since. And the games that they've lost since then and the games that they've, you know, been behind, you specifically think about New England. You specifically think about Atlanta and Miami, especially, I think. They just haven't been able to recover when they haven't controlled the game. The two dichotomies between the Kansas City game and the Miami game are exact examples of this. Against Kansas City, did any of us think that they didn't control the game? Of course they did, the whole way. They controlled the game. Now, it was 7-7 at one point, but okay. And Bills are actually down 10-7. But even when they were down 10-7, they have the ball. I never felt the Bills were not in control. You know what I mean? In this game against Miami, it felt like things just started to snowball. As soon as they got up, as soon as they were down 13-0 after the mixed extra point, I think that's when you start to go, okay, I don't know what they can do here.
Yeah, it was 13-0 before you could blink. I mean, the Dolphins were on the Bills fast, it felt like.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it goes to, but it's both sides, which is the Bills, they don't go for it on 4th-and-1. And I know people, oh my God, I can't believe he didn't go for it. It is the 34-yard line, right? I mean, the 34-yard line is literally closer than if you take a touchback in your own zone.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. And I would have liked to see him go for it because of the what people say, which is true. To me, you're playing the Miami Dolphins. If you turn the ball over there and they score, so what? I'll come back. I have Josh Allen. But again, I'll go back to how do the Bills want to play? You know what? We'll punt it away. We'll be fine here. We'll stop them. You know, we're going to control this game. But the Dolphins went down the field and they scored. And that was the start of everything that happened.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, as the Bills get back to practice today, the injuries, obviously, Christian Benford, Taron Johnson, Josh Palmer, Shaq Thompson. Landon Jackson obviously was hurt in that game and goes on IR. They bring in Mecole Hardman, but I am starting to wonder, is it getting to time where we are going to start questioning if Gabe Davis is going to start generating a little bit more of a presence as well?
Well, I don't think that the question is going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sean McDermott's kind of alluded to that. Like, he's never discounted that Gabe will be on the roster. It's kind of been more of a when, not if.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to happen. And I wouldn't be doubt. I would not be surprised if it's this week, guys. You know, especially everything that's going on with revolving around Keon Coleman and the questions about, you know, effort and Sean McDermott kind of not squashing that question per se, right? Keon's on the field a lot. He's been on the field more than 70% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Next closest receiver is Khalil Shakir at 60%. You know, if you think about Gabe Davis and his role, it would be that skill set. That's kind of what you're looking at. And maybe there's a switch there coming. So, yeah, I think Gabe Davis is definitely an option. Then you get to Mecole Hardman. You know, I tweeted out yesterday when they signed him to the practice squad. It's not just the field stretching ability. He has that. And you want that in your offense. They need that in their offense. The other thing he does is he returns punts. You guys know I'm a big Brandon Codrington fan for his skill set. But he has been pretty ineffective this year when he's been on the field. And if you're going to be not super effective and not contribute on defense or another position, it's tough to justify activating. So that's why he's been inactive, I think. I think he's been inactive because if he's not going to be helping on offense or defense, he better be really, really great at what he does in the return game. And it just hasn't happened this year. So now you put Khalil Shakir back there and, you know, you want to make sure Khalil stays healthy and all that. He's very good decision-making and all that. He can return punts. There's no doubt he can break one once in a while. But that's not ideal. So maybe Mecole Hardman represents somebody that can help out in that. And guys, the Bills have the second worst starting average field position in the NFL this year. Mm-hmm. Second worst. You know who's worse? You know who has the worst starting field position? Want to guess?
Now I feel like it's going to be a good team, but I want to say like New Orleans.
No, you're right. Your first inclination. It's the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. There's
the
such
Philadelphia
a weird
Eagles
team.
And the Buffalo Bills have 1-2 Eagles Bills, the worst average drive starts in the NFL this year.
The Philadelphia Eagles also hate fun, I do believe that.
Sal, did you realize this? Because it was the first thing I realized when Monday Night Football wrapped up. We started the week with a 10-7 game. We ended the week with a 10-7 game.
I did not realize that. Yeah, horrific. I mean, man, I watched that Steelers team, and I'm like, oh, and you're talking about the Eagles-Packers. I'm sorry.
Yes,
yeah, that was the Monday Night game. I'm thinking about the Sunday Night game, but I'll go to that one in a second.
About Steelers,
but
too.
Yeah, Steelers. I'm watching that, and I'm like, I think about the Steelers. I think about the Browns. And I know that you could have challenges against those teams and their defenses. And, man, just if the Bills could just do a little bit more what they're supposed to do on offense, they'll be fine because those offenses just do not challenge you that much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, Sal. I know we've all talked about it kind of to death over the last month or so.
That's like, next couple games, as a matter of fact, after Tampa, is offenses that don't really challenge
you. They can't really challenge you. But, like, I look around the AFC, and this is why I have really not totally given up on the Bills' season as a still being a Super Bowl contender. Even with all the issues, is that I look around the AFC and I go, who's really good? Even Indy at 8-2, Daniel Jones, he went from the bell of the ball to he's turning into a pumpkin real fast over the last few weeks. Coincidentally, just as his team put all of their eggs in his basket and trade 2 first-round picks for a corner. Nice job on Daniel Jones for that one. But, you know, Kansas City, we'll see how they look against Denver this week. That's going to be a game I am glued to coming off their bye. It's, you know, even New England, they're 8-2 and Drake May looks great, but everyone's kind of acknowledging their schedule. They're beating up on a bad schedule, albeit with wins on the road at Tampa and at Buffalo. It's just, it is still something to keep an eye on that the AFC is kind of allowing a lot of maybe middling teams to hang around here. Pittsburgh, of course, being one of them as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but hey, nothing wrong with the Patriots can only play who's on their schedule. We say that about the Bills sometimes,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, good for them. They've taken care of business. The Patriots have, you know, rolled off how many straight wins? 7 straight wins, right? They did lose to the Steelers and they did lose to the Raiders. They if they don't bring their A game, they can lose. And we've seen that. They get the Jets tomorrow night, and the Jets have, like, you guys are going to shoot up at wide receiver soon, man. For the Jets. I mean, right? Like, what are you supposed to do there? They get the Bengals, who right now, and, you know, they can score points, but they just, I can see Drake May just carving them up in that game. They get the Giants, and then they have a, how about this? The Bills get them after a bye week. They get a whole 2 weeks to get ready for the Bills, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see many losses left in their schedule, so they're going to have to drop one along the way, and you're going to have to beat them and pretty much stay perfect yourself for the Bills. So it's not looking like there's a really clear, easy path for the Bills. It's not at all. It's a very, very hard path to win their 6th straight division championship. But you got to keep playing the games, and you see what happens. And it all starts tomorrow night. You're right. And then, you know, the Bills get the Bucs this week. No Bucky Irving most likely this week again still. He's still out. It's been quite a while. No Chris Godwin. They've been playing without those guys for a while. Very good run defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bills are going to be challenged in the run games. More focus on the pass game again this week, which is you got to get it going. You're facing a really, really good run defense in the Buccaneers this week. And unless you can unlock something against them that other teams haven't been able to do, you're going to have to throw the ball because they've been susceptible against the pass. And then Baker Mayfield has been playing at an MVP level at times this year, not as much lately. He's lost some linemen. He's lost some weapons. So those are things. And then just looking ahead, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but C.J. Stroud is still in concussion protocol for the Texans. There's thought that he might miss this week against the Titans. Mm-hmm. And then it's a quick turnaround against the Bills, so you just wonder right there if he's going to play. But, I mean, Davis Mills led 26-point comeback in the fourth quarter for them last week.
I mean,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Davis Mills. I think it's the last Bills game I went to was Davis Mills was the starting quarterback for Houston when they came to Buffalo. I think it was a monsoon game. It was a very wet game. Sal, last thing here. I don't want to keep you too long, but real quick, the schedule for today with practice. And then I did want to get your thoughts before we kind of get way too past it. The Tom Pelissero report from this weekend about Jalen Waddle. And Quinnen Williams is also involved in that. But really the report, it seemed, was the Bills are the highest bidder for Waddle, first and a third. The problem, it seemed, was that the Bills were unwilling to move their first-round pick from 27 to 26. I just, for me at least, Sal, both, I don't love that report. There is no try. There is only do here, especially in professional sports. And then, two, I was a little surprised that, I mean, if that move is pulled off, I think that is the Bills quietly acknowledging we screwed this one up. Maybe we do need that guy that is going to demand a high volume of targets. Maybe, you know, outright saying a number one wide receiver.
Well, yeah, I mean, more information helps you dictate, you know, decisions. And obviously throughout the season here, information, injuries, things like that, get Brandon Bean back to a point where it felt like, according to the report, you know, he needed someone like that. And that's a big swing. That's a real big swing. You know, I've seen people question it and say, well, it's just PR spin. Okay, let me say, I do think it benefits the Bills for that to be out there to kind of show people, hey, we're trying. But I also think it's true that they did that. It's not like it's, you know, made up. I think the Bills took a swing, and I give Brandon Bean credit for that. But you have to wonder if it was the simple, hey, it's not 27, it's 26, and he said no, then sure. I mean, you could definitely make an argument that maybe he should have taken that swing. Maybe he should have done that. From his perspective, he's probably thinking, I can't be without a first and a third in the same year going into next year. Like, I need those guys. I have salary cap issues. I got to have young players early, you know, good early draft picks contribute right away. And I got to have an eye on that, you know, next year. I'm looking at Jalen Waddle's contract. It wouldn't be much to manage next year. So, you know, if that's a missed opportunity, I do wonder, though, guys, honestly, like, to focus on the other side and say, you know, Brandon Bean's over here maybe trying to do that. Do we know maybe did Chris – Brandon Bean seemed really upset that day. Like, he was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he said right out, if I was a betting man, I would have lost money. Thought we would have made a deal. That's an indication to me that he had something planned that he thought was done, or at least very close, and he was confident was going to get done. Did he have a deal with Chris Greer, and then Chris Greer got fired? And then the new GM comes in and goes, my first thing to do is not to trade Jalen Waddle to our arch rival, the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not – like, you could imagine any interim GM, Champ Kelly, coming in and going, dude, I'm not – my first active GM is not treating Jalen freaking Waddle to the Bills.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm not doing that. You could see something like that happen, right? I don't put it past that could have been what was happening in that play. Maybe even – can I go a step further? Maybe even the owner found out that Chris Greer was going to trade Jalen Waddle. He said, no, you're not. He fired him. I don't know. I'm mm-hmm. just saying there's a lot that happened over a 6-7 day period there.
And you're right. I mean, he sounded ticked off in that post-trade deadline yes. media. So I think that absolutely could be one of the scenarios that went down there. And then, Sal, the schedule for today with the Bills getting back to work.
Sean McDermott's going to speak to the media a little over an hour from now. We'll get an injury update today. They'll be on the practice field. And then, of course, we'll have a official injury report a little bit later. And on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. And we'll keep you updated on their situation as well.
Sounds good, sir. We kept you along. Thanks so much. And we'll talk again soon.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. 803-0550, the number two call. Mike Phillip, hang on the line. We'll get to you when we come back. We'll keep talking the Bills. We also had a big win yesterday in collegiate sports. We'll get to that and plenty more as we roll along here on a bit of a dreary Wednesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer.
Speaking of being dreary a little bit, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical Excellence help that by intercepting your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends January 4th, 2026. We're already in November, guys. Make sure you're getting in there if you want to try to get this done. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. Paul Hamilton also at 11 o'clock here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
I'm going with Joshua Allen, and it's not even close. I think last year's success recipe is not this year's success recipe. Last year, we were all questioning Brandon Bean's decision to not give Josh a number one receiver. Buffalo Bills probably has the best trio of talent at the tight end position in the whole league. Those guys can play, but that's not a recipe for longevity when you have a third and six. You cannot be in 12 or 13 personnel. Well, you have, you know, got to have the situations where somebody on the outside has to consistently beat man to man.
Former NFL MVP Cam Newton speaking on the Bills offense. And that's something, Derek, we've talked about a lot, that the recipe from last year is not working. And one of the things we didn't necessarily jump into, I think I've mentioned it, but didn't necessarily jump into that Sal brought up, starting field position as well. Bills are second to last in the league, where last year they were one of the better ones, whether that be to takeaways, to you know, punt and kick return, what have you. They were one of the better ones in the league. This year, that has not been the case, and it has forced them even more so. Got to be perfect. Got to be perfect. Got to be perfect. And that's hard to do in the NFL for 17 games. That is very, very hard to do.
It's hard to be perfect like that. And mm-hmm. it is getting to a point where it's worrisome. And it's a week-to-week league. We do have to remember that at the end of the day. They are 6-3. It's a week-to-week league. We were sitting here a week ago, flying on the seat of our pants, right?
Mm-hmm.
6-2, just beat Kansas City. You were pretty much in control of that game. Everything's cool, right? And then 1 week later, we're all like, this stinks and nobody's having fun. And I think we just need to remember that for a second. And yet at the same time, I hate that this is where we're going, because what it does is it reminds you of even those couple of wins early in the year where they don't look that impressive while doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned how they had control in the Kansas City game the entire time. It's not that I had legitimate fears that they would lose to Miami the first time around or the New Orleans game. I didn't have like that legitimate kind of fear, but man, you didn't look good. And then they do lose to Miami and it's like, all right. All those things are being brought up again. The New England and Atlanta losses are coming back here. Mm-hmm. Bad time being had all around. The weaknesses are the weaknesses. The national media now pointing out Brandon Bean's comments that were made in April. Yep. Welcome to the party, pal, first of all. And second of all, it's frustrating. All it takes is one good game against Tampa Bay to get us back into good spirits.
Well, I mean, look what the Kansas City win was, right? I mean, the Kansas City win was basically that, too, of like, okay, you've won two in a row, looking great.
But again, it turns into a very disturbing trend on the other end. Remember how I've always, early in the year, I had said something about this of like, you need to win X game because I don't want to think about the other side. It was Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to look at the other side if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like in the Avengers. We have to win.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to go about if we don't. Steve Rogers. It's not the exact quote, but I'm paraphrasing on that. So I'm Steve Rogers in this. They have to win against Tampa Bay, mostly because I don't want to think about the other side of this.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, the way that they've been playing, I have to. I don't want to, but I have to. Because they have been performing now in a way that is, I don't know about worrisome, but it's definitely worth paying attention to.
It's not a great trend.
No.
Also, average starting field position, they were not one of the best. They were the best. 33.4, their average starting field position. I'm checking this year real quick. We know their bottom two, but I just want to show how different it has been.
Yes.
And 28.5. Philadelphia is 28.2.
And starting field position could also do with, like, the defense gives up a little bit more.
No, it's 100%,
it's a deeper punt. Versus, you know, you get a quick three and out and it forces a punt and you've got favorable position.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just kickoffs. It's not just punt returns as well.
It's the takeaways, all that
it's the takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
That's their biggest problem here, Zach. It's not necessarily the return game. It is the fact that the highly volatile stat finally has come back with the other side of the coin. They have reliably, through the entirety of Sean McDermott's tenure as the head coach, been a top 10 team in takeaways. This year, that's not happening as much. Those plays aren't being made on the other side of the ball. And while injury does have a lot to do with some of these issues, poor tackling does too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
How do you flip the field? Long run, because there's a couple tackles missed, a couple blown assignments on run coverage, and the next thing you know, it's at the 33-yard line.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Pittsburgh, the best so far this year, own 33.9, and they still suck on offense. What a travesty of an organization right now. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's ring up the phone lines now. We'll start with Mike today. Mike, how we doing, man?
Good, thank you. You were just talking about injuries, and mm-hmm. I don't know if you can pull up the stats for this year as far as teams that have lost, like, the most starters, the most man time lost, I guess, due to injuries. But I'd imagine that that the Bills, as far as starters, have probably lost probably more games to injury than probably every other team. And then second of all, I'm starting to wonder that if maybe this offensive coordinator's lack of imagination or the ability, maybe he just doesn't have the ability to scheme concepts. I can see if a lot of these receivers were in their first and second years, but these receivers have experience either with other teams or even with the Bills when it comes to Shakir mm-hmm. as far as being able to catch some balls. And this offensive coordinator, you know, as far as I watch the Bills, and they run basically the same, you know, three types of passing plays. They either run that wide receiver screen, a 6 or 7 yard pass to Kincaid in the middle of the field there, or they run that back shoulder or jump pass on the sideline there to Coleman. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the main passes that the Bills have used pretty much this whole year. And I'm wondering, every time I watch the Bills, maybe I'm missing it, but they don't seem to run any bunch formations. And to me, that's a way of getting people, you know, finding ways to get people open, because I've seen it with other teams mm-hmm. where you create a bunch situation there, and it seems to scheme one or two people open. And I just wonder if you guys have noticed that they don't run any bunch formations.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. This is where, I know a caller brought it up this morning with Jeremy and Joe, but I'm going to say the same thing. Greg Cosell on One Bills Live, his weekly appearance, he mentions a lot about the Bills' passing concepts and how they, this is not his exact word, but, you know, unimaginative. They're not doing everything they can. And that's where I do almost have the struggle going back and forth with, is it a talent issue? Is it the coaching? It's probably both.
It's
probably
an
ugly marriage. And yeah, no, I think to the caller's point, to Mike's point, they kind of do run sort of the same stuff over and over and over again. You know, Howard Simon yesterday bringing up that Khalil Shakir, can we throw the ball past the line of scrimmage every now and then for him? It seems like everything's at the line or is behind the line, those bubble screens. You know, Dalton Kincaid, where I get excited when they use him is that he's actually in the middle of the field going down the field. That's something we've talked about a lot, is maybe the biggest positive they've had in the passing game is Dalton Kincaid went from a guy that couldn't even, you know, his average yards per reception, I think, was under 10 yards, and it's jumped up this year to, I think, around 14, 15. He's been their big play guy. That's, I think, where they're going to miss it. I wonder what they look like, though, when they've got Gabe Davis in the lineup and Josh Palmer and Mecole Hardman and more of these, quote-unquote, seasoned receivers, vet receivers. Maybe it looks different. Maybe it looks better. I'm not holding my breath. The longer this goes on, the more I feel like this is probably more in line with Joe Brady having an issue with the passing game, and maybe more towards people when we were talking about the trade deadline of why even bring in a receiver, the guy's not going to use them. I think that maybe is correct at this point. If they brought in someone like a Rashid Shaheed, how much would he really change you? Because you can point to guys like Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore having great years on bad teams, and yet they come to Buffalo now. And Elijah Moore looks like a guy that shouldn't even be in the league. And that was not true last year in Cleveland. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres are in action tonight at Utah. Paul Hamilton's going to join the show in about 15 or so minutes. Before we take our next timeout, though, Tailgate Trivia is back. It is presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. That is courtesy of TSE Buffalo. If you're on hold, stay there. When we come back, we'll get to your calls, and we'll get to Paul Hamilton as well at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number one, wrapping up here on a bit of a gloomy Wednesday. However, it was a very good night last night locally in collegiate basketball as UB men go to DePaul in Chicago. 19.5-point dogs, Derek. They win by 13.
They won a money game.
They won a money game. John Rothstein, CBS Sports, the epitome of brutality. They dominated DePaul early in that game. I was able to keep up with it a little bit here, but there was some top 25 action that was locked in. Louisville, Kentucky was phenomenal. But I was keeping up with this. They dominated the first half. DePaul got white hot from three in the second half.
But they survived.
UB survives. Ryan Sable and Daniel Freetag were phenomenal last night, and really some clutch performances from them. They were picked 11th in the MAC this year. This is still a program that is reeling from the 4-win season from 2 years ago, the 9-win season last year, and the 6 total conference
still
wins.
Still recovering from the departure of Nate Oates.
And that was, I think, the best win they've had under Halkovich. You're 19.5-point dogs at tip-off, and to win by 13, a true road game. They're 3-0. I saw this from Howard Simon this morning. Only the third or the second time they've started 3-0 in the last 30 years.
Whew.
And even their first win of the year, Southern Miss, they win that game at home. Southern Miss, I think 2 or 3 days after that, goes into South Carolina and drags that game to overtime. And so they've picked up some pretty darn good wins here. They'll probably, I'm going to put quotation, probably, I've been wrong before. Go back to the videos with the Miami Dolphin Bills pregame.
Don't go back to those
Don't
videos,
go back
actually.
To those. I've been very wrong. But they've got RIT on Saturday at home. It's 11 o'clock. I'll be in attendance. I haven't been to Alumni Arena in a long time. It's something that, you know, I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I'm feeling good about Western New York basketball. I did not think this could. I was hoping they would just be in the MAC tournament. That's been a big problem, too. They haven't even qualified
for the MAC tournament.
But now it's early signs. It's still way too early. Three games in, but a quality win for them. I know it's DePaul. They're the basement of the Big East. However, the mighty have fallen for UB. The days of Nate Oates are a long time ago. This is a quality win for a team hoping to rise back up to the top of the mid-major groups. And we'll see if they can do that. But great job by George Halkovich and his crew. Wonderful game for them. 803-0550, the number two call. We have Sabres game tonight. They are out west at Utah, 9 p.m. start time, 8 p.m. pregame. We'll get a little bit of a heads up, though, because there's a lot going on with the Sabres. A lot of it not great. Paul Hamilton's going to join the show next. You're listening to WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.